Welcome to the Truth to You Daily Podcast, a podcast designed for teenagers who want to learn more about God's Word and how it impacts our daily lives. Journey with us as we set out to explore God's timeless truth one day at a time. Hello and welcome back to the Truth to You podcast. I hope that you're having a great day. Teenagers, we are in the middle of our revival services with Brother Jim Shetler. And it's just been a great meeting so far. I'm excited about even the aftermath of this meeting and just seeing the play out of the work that God's done in our lives. And just really exciting today because I have the opportunity to sit down with Brother Jim Shetler here in my office. How you doing today, Brother Jim?
Hey, doing good, Scott. Doing good.
That's awesome. Now, Brother Jim currently is serving on staff at West Coast Baptist College. And how long have you been there now?
I'm in my eighth year, finishing up my eighth year there.
Okay, that's awesome. Now, real quick, before we get into some questions I've got for you here today, my first introduction to you and your ministry was at the Bill Rice Ranch. Mm. And I remember as a teenager going and hearing you speak there and just enjoyed the preaching. Lord spoke to my heart. And then years later, I would be able to take our youth group and hear you at the Bill Rice Ranch again. What a blessing to have you here this week. You've already been a blessing to our folks. And again, just excited to be able to sit down here with you today. Let's go ahead and dig into this a little bit. Now, I would just let everybody know, Brother Shetler has not had a lot of time to digest what we're going to talk about here today. So this is just inspirational. Yeah. So we're just going to go at it here. All right, first question I have for you today is this: how did you know that the Lord wanted you in ministry?
Yeah, you know, Scott, I do not have a specific decision that I was called to preach. And a lot of people do, but I do not. I tell you a verse that's really guided me is Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And I think that delight is more than just be happy with Jesus. Mm-hmm. I think that delight is I'm right with him and I'm willing to do whatever he wants. Matter of fact, you can't delight in God if you're not right with him and you're not willing.
Yeah.
So I think when you're right and you're willing, he puts on your heart, because now he's got the garden all cultivated.
Yeah.
He can now put a seed of desire on your heart to go like, you know what? This is what I want to do. Mm. And Pastor, I mean this. I do not have a day that I was called to preach.
Yeah.
But if you ask me, do you have a desire to preach, Brother Jim? Man, I have a passion.
Yeah.
And I believe that passion didn't come from me creating it.
Yeah.
I think it came from me delighting in him, and then he put on my heart the passion, the desire that I wanted. So I got to tell you, how do I know I'm called? I think my desire and passion, as I've delighted in him, God has put that on my heart.
Yeah.
That's what I desire to do, Pastor.
That's great. That's great. You know, it's something you said made me think about something that I've recognized in my own life, and that when people ask me, you know, when did you know? And I made the decision when I was 14. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it was in a revival service, and that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And that is when I nailed it down. But quite honestly, I feel like the Lord had been just cultivating that desire over the process of time since I had gotten saved. And it was, again, it was at age 14 that was just kind of like, all right, this is the nailed down moment. I feel like this is what God wants me to do, and I'm going to go in this direction until he stops me.
Yeah, so, and that has been exactly the way that it's been. You know, I will tell you, I hear a lot of testimonies. People thought, I'll do anything but be a preacher. And maybe there would be young people listening, and I can appreciate and understand that.
Sure.
But I got to tell you, for me, that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
When I got right with God, there has been a desire to expound the word, teach the word, share the word.
Amen.
God just has put that on my heart.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right, well, we'll keep moving here. Let's go to the next question here, and this isn't necessarily spiritual here, but just fun stuff. What is your go-to restaurant and your favorite menu item there?
Okay, well, the answer is yes, yes, yes. Okay. You know, right. In other words, I love food, and there's really, I am not a sushi guy. Okay. That would be, but if you take sushi out and don't call that a food item, yeah, then I got to tell you, there isn't anything that I don't love. But you know, for me, it's like whatever I'm sensing for that day.
Okay.
I really, like, I'm all over Panda Express when I, you know, like, oh, man, let's do that.
Yeah.
How do you not love Chick-fil-A?
Yeah,
now, we have a place out in California that is worth going all the way to California for.
Oh,
it's
my.
Called In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, I've been there.
And I've got to tell you,
yeah,
there is nothing
You're
like
right.
an In-N-Out hamburger.
Right.
So, you know, Scott, for me, it's like, you know, today it's Popeye chicken. Today it's... you know what? At every place, I have my item.
Okay.
You know, I know the kind of sub I want at Subway.
Oh, nice.
I know what I order at Panda Express every time. I love Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Pizza-wise, I suppose Papa John's would be my favorite, and I know what I want on it. But I tell you, I just really like food.
Yeah, I hear you. And it's interesting you mentioned In-N-Out Burger. Traveled out west for the college that I went to, and we hit In-N-Out Burger as many times as we possibly could. Something special.
There's just nothing like... By the way, it's a Christian, like Chick-fil-A. There's scripture at the bottom of the
I've
cups.
I've heard that. Really?
Yeah, they put scripture on the bottom of their cups.
Oh,
and
that's
it is by a Christian owner. Owns In-N-Out, too.
That is cool. All right, well, good, good. All right, let's keep going here. Now, let's go back to your teenage years,
okay?
All right, and this will relate to that. And what would you say was... perhaps one of your biggest struggles as a teenager, and how did you deal with it?
Yeah. You know, it's got, for me, it really was birds of a feather flock together.
Mm.
It was friendships.
Mm.
I think I've always struggled a little bit about being a people pleaser.
Yeah.
So in your teen years, if you tend to be a little bit of a people pleaser, you're going to please your friends, thinking that acceptance is the most important thing. I actually struggled with a whole lot in my teen years, Scott. And I think some of it was also an authority issue.
Hmm.
I looked at authority as my enemy and not my protection.
Yeah.
I did not look at authority as my guide. I look at it as something to go against.
Yeah.
And there was a lot, and I want to share this.
Yeah.
I think I struggle in my thought life with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm being very transparent, I think there were some things I was looking at that I shouldn't be looking at.
Mm-hmm.
There was authority figures that I was fighting.
Yeah.
And I know you might be thinking right now, like, you were a mess as a teen. And you know, Pastor Scott, I was.
Mm.
I trusted Christ when I was 12.
Yeah.
But like the people of Israel, saved out of Egypt, but they wandered in the wilderness before they went to the promised land.
Yeah.
My teen years were very barren.
Yeah.
I was involved with things.
Mm-hmm.
I was struggling with many things that I shouldn't have been. So I know that maybe not be a specific answer, but I was all about myself and my flesh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I just, to be honest.
Yep. Yep. And you know, listen to you talk. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of teenagers that are hearing this and thinking, wow, you know that. And I would have to say the same thing. You know, we sometimes share the similar struggles, and just like you preached at preached on last night. You know, these are sins that are common to man, and each one of us have to come to those things, and with the Lord's help, we can get victory, and we can walk with Him, and that's just the power of a life and a walk with God.
Amen. Amen.
All right, let's go ahead on to the next question here, and you get an opportunity to interact with so many teenagers, so many young people working at a college, especially you see them when they come right out of high school and that sort of thing. This is a two-part question. What is one of the most positive things that you're seeing in Christian young people today? And then we're going to look at the negative side of that in just a second. But can you just give us a word on that just here briefly? What's one of the most positive things that you see from Christian young people?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think there's several. But one I would like to highlight today is their desire to do things together as a team.
Hmm.
They are very team-oriented.
Yeah.
And when I was growing up, fundamentalism, Christianity was very independent.
Yeah.
And you did things on your own. And there wasn't a group mentality.
Mm-hmm.
People don't care that much today. Young people don't seem to care who gets the credit? Mm. They want God to get the glory. Mm-hmm. They want to be a part of a team.
Yeah.
They want to do stuff together.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because social media has isolated us,
yeah,
that when they're together, I find them very connected.
Yeah.
And if I can get with a group of college students, mm-hmm, like I'll tell you right now, in my classes, they love when they have to get together and work on a project together.
Yeah,
nice. That was not true with me at all. I was like, you know, sure, and I don't think that was true of my generation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that is a, if we can harness that, Pastor,
yeah,
Scott,
yeah, absolutely,
what a great thing, young people working together,
yeah,
for the cause of Christ. And we don't lift up so much individuals today,
mm-hmm,
as we used to.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of the group,
yeah,
together. So
right,
that, I would say, is a real strength.
Yeah, it, you know, along, hearing you mention that, you know, I know as I've talked with many of the teens that are listening to this podcast, I think that's been one of the biggest struggles in regards to, you know, this season of COVID.
Yes.
And breaking up, splitting apart, you know, we're more isolated.
I agree.
And I know as a youth group, and the teens will tell you, we've had to come up with some creative ways, Zoom activities, you know, where people are interacting from their home, and
yeah,
we're trying to do games, and it's not the same, it's different. And so that is a challenge today, but that's interesting that you point that out.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I could say the negative, I guess.
Yes, yes, the flip side of this.
And I want to say this. I have sensed a reception for the preaching of God's word as good as I've ever seen in teenagers.
Hmm.
And their ability and desire, not ability.
Sure.
Their desire to make decisions, I think, is at one of the highest levels.
Wow.
But I got to tell you something, Pastor.
Hmm.
I've never seen a generation not stick to the commitments that they're making than they are right now.
Yeah. Wow.
They I don't think they're being phonies, because they want authenticity.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think they're being phony with their decisions,
mm-hmm,
but I just got to tell you something. They're not keeping to their decisions.
Yeah.
And if I could tell the young people anything, put some discipline, have some grit to you.
That's good.
You know what?
Yeah.
I made this decision for God. I'm responsible for that decision, and I need to stick to something.
Yeah.
And I do think that their hearts are tender.
Yeah, sure.
God, I've been preaching to teenagers for over 40 years.
Yeah.
I think they're as tender as they've ever been.
Hmm.
But they don't seem to be as committed as ever.
Wow. And that's a great challenge. I appreciate you mentioning that. Let's go ahead and let's turn the corner to our final question. And boy, time just goes so quickly when you're having fun, right?
Yeah.
All right. Last questions here. Last question. What are you currently reading in your quiet time? And how would you say God has been using that in your life here recently?
So let me tell you something about, first of all, I'm maybe going to center this all around devotions.
Great.
My one son once gave an illustration about devotions I loved.
Hmm.
He said, you know, it's like sprinklers. All sprinklers have one thing in common. They put water on the lawn. They water.
Mm-hmm.
But there's drip sprinklers, there's circling sprinklers,
yeah,
there's really dozens of different kinds of sprinklers.
Yeah.
But they have one thing in common. They always get water. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really think it matters what method you use to water your heart every day.
Uh-huh.
But you better make sure you get water. The
That's
two
good.
Things about devotions that I'm huge with is,
mm-hmm,
number one, define words. Look up the definitions of words.
Yeah.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
That's
we
good.
Believe in a preserved word of
yeah.
God.
Yes.
So the words matter, Scott.
Yeah,
people are reading things they don't know what they're reading.
Mm-hmm.
Define words. And then number two, never leave your devotions without a takeaway.
Yeah, that's good.
I never
yeah,
will leave. It doesn't matter if, you know, has there ever been a time you had a 12-minute devotion or a 10? Yes.
Yeah, sure.
I'm embarrassed to tell you that,
yeah,
but there
yeah.
are.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you this, Scott. I have never left my devotions that I don't have a takeaway for personal application
yeah.
for my own life.
That's excellent. Wow. I appreciate you sharing that. Just a couple weeks ago, we talked about having quiet time with God in our teen group. And that hopefully is very fresh on everybody's mind. Mm-hmm. And boy, that application of what you said is just the next level. And I appreciate that so much. Listen, our time is done.
Yeah.
And like I said, it goes quickly. But boy, I tell you, I'm so appreciative of your ministry. You've impacted my life. I know you're impacting the lives of our church and our teenagers as you are here. And again, thank you for just taking the time to sit down with us today.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. Take care.